Welcome to the Negotiations Ninja podcast, where we develop and deliver the most engaging negotiation content and training in the world. We host negotiation experts, business people, and entrepreneurs, and discuss what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our negotiation skills. What can I tell you about these two hooligans that I'm going to have on the show? Alan Tsang and Dan Oblinger are friends of mine, but they are giant, giant nerds when it comes to negotiation. And they hijacked this entire show. But it was so funny that I had to make sure that you all got access to it. I really, really enjoyed the conversation. These guys are super knowledgeable and really, really good at what they do. And we have a lot of fun together when we're together. So I think you guys are going to really love this show. Reach out to Dan, reach out to Alan. They're good dudes. They're super knowledgeable, and they're going to be able to help you with whatever you need when it comes to negotiation. Alan and Dan, we did it. We're here. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
It's too bad Alan's here too, but I'm blessed.
Man, shots fired right away. We don't even hold back. We didn't even get into the conversation yet and shots have been fired.
He's been waiting for that for, I think, 2 weeks now.
Yes. Wait, laying in wait.
I love it. I love it, guys. It's going to be a great interview. It's going to be a great podcast. So before we get into it, though, there are, I mean, as surprising as it may sound to you, there are some people who don't know you guys. I know it sounds crazy.
We're kind of a big deal, Mark. What's wrong with these people?
I know. They've been living under a rock, man. I don't know what the deal is.
If they lived under a rock, we'd be neighbors. So it's
So maybe before we begin, Dan, we'll start with you. You could give people a bit of background as to who you are and what you do.
Hi, I'm Dan Oblinger. I am a business consultant and negotiations coach. My origin story starts in police crisis and hostage negotiation in the middle part of the United States. I've been in law enforcement for just about 20 years, been a crisis negotiator for a decade. And I made the transition also about 8 years ago, 8 to 9 years ago, to do consulting work with companies who want to build negotiation culture in their company. And it's like there's a zoo and there's all these negotiation coaches in the zoo. So there's this taxonomy, right? Like all the different genus and species. And my species would be like homo listener. I'm really, really interested in the power of active listening to activate your negotiation ability.
Fantastic. What about you, Alan? What do you want the people to know about you?
He's in the predator section of the zoo. I know that.
Not quite as sexy as Dan. I'm not a hostage negotiator. I am by day. I'm a negotiation coach. I teach, train, and coach negotiation. My clients include executives, entrepreneurs, professionals, anywhere from startups to multi-billion-dollar corporations. They come to me, and I help them get more of what they want without having to make unnecessary compromises. By night, I'm also a negotiation coach because I work with people in Asia.
I thought you were going to say you're some sort of superhero,
I know.
Crime fighter. By night, I am Batman.
No,
or something
he is,
like that.
Though. He's like 24-hour man, never sleep man.
Never sleep.
You can ask Dan. I don't sleep.
So here's, Mark, here's our relationship is we are constantly just like picking each other's brain about negotiations, about theory and practice. And so he'll call me at like 2 in the morning, my time. And I'll be up because I'm at work because I work nights too. So I'll be like, he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, watching Criminals. What are you doing? He's like, I'm getting ready to get on the phone with Hong Kong, but I had this thought.
I love it. I love it. Well, whenever you can find someone that you can share a unique passion with and share ideas with, it's a good thing, guys. It's a really good thing. You guys have found something pretty special, I think. And I want to start off there with some of the stuff that you're doing on your Q&As on LinkedIn. How did that all start? Like, what's that all about? Maybe, Dan, we'll start with you. We'll get your thoughts, and then maybe we'll get the truth from Alan afterwards.
Yes, that's the best way.
That's always a smart idea. Negotiator Q&A is like many things where the origin's a little bit nebulous. It's a little bit murky because we bounce ideas off each other so often, and we certainly had an idea, well, how can we collaborate? And it's like we love to study negotiations but also practice it. And there's tons of things out there that can help you, right? But there's nothing quite like Q&A because we wanted something that was unscripted and a little bit untamed and a little bit quirky. and fun, but also serious about the craft, but not serious about ourselves. So it kind of has evolved even over the course of 8 weeks into something that's pretty interesting. Again, it's unique. Alan, what do you think?
It's kind of very organic, right? Dan and I were talking, and the way I recall it, it came out from meeting a need, Mark. And the need is, there's a lot of people during this time that needs to negotiate or renegotiate. And during crisis, there's more of that than ever, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of people out there who claim to be negotiation coaches and stuff like that. And what Dan and I have seen is there's a lot of myths out there. There's a lot of misconceptions and there's invalid way of thinking and behaving that affects how people negotiate and compromise. And so we decide to have a Q&A where people can just ask us in the question format, just raw, right? Right there. You have Dan and you have Alan. It's not scripted. There's no preparation. I don't have a textbook. Like, yes, a lot of stuff I study, like in master's program on conflict analysis and resolution. But when you're in front of an audience and people are asking you the questions, you can't blow smoke.
That's why I love Q&A formats.
And we don't restrict who comes. I mean, this is the other thing too, is like we have college students who claim to know nothing about negotiations, just are genuinely interested, all the way up to peers. You know, Kwame Christian has shown up. And the idea is that it's not about us. It's about the tribe. It's about bringing together people. Alan and I agree on, I would say, probably 80% of what negotiations are and how to approach them.
Dan have come to agree with me on 80%. We're shooting for the 99%. So just give me time.
And Alan compromised him at me halfway.
Give me time.
But we disagree on a lot of some style points.
Yes.
And then what's funny is then we agree again that you should have some differences in style. We want to correct misconceptions that are just flat wrong. And there's a few of them out there. And I think Mark wants to get into that here in a bit. Isn't that right, Mark?
Well, talking about style, who has more style? Just look at the Photoshop. Who's got style?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that's subjective based on, you know, the beauty's in the eye of the beholder that they say. I would say this, neither of you are beautiful. So
thank you, Mark.
No. Style is different from beauty.
You definitely need style. To improve on that.
There's no beauty, only style.
I'm a happily married spud, so I've kind of let myself go. I'm not going to lie.
Listen, the reason I wanted to get you guys on today is because it's very rare that we have conversations amongst three guys that teach negotiations that are just basically like scotch talks. And I want to have a conversation that you and I would have, or both of you and I would have over a glass of scotch, and really just talk about what do we consider as some of the cool things about what we do, and what do we consider about the really, really shitty things that we do. And I want to start off with pet peeves. So both of you plus me, we all teach negotiation. We all coach negotiation. Everyone from individuals to large corporate clients, you got to have some pet peeves. Maybe Alan, we'll start with you. What are your biggest pet peeves about the type of work that you do?
Can you explain a little bit more what pet peeves
are? Yeah, what pisses you off about when you give instruction? What's the one thing that keeps coming up over and over and over again?
Where you're like, fuck, okay, got it.
People should have got this by now, man. Like, how many times have I said this?
I'm not a really good pastor and I try to preach and no one listens. So that's a problem, right? So this is the deal. I go to companies and they ask me to come in and train the sales team or the account management team, account executive team, right? So you go in. And what I've discovered is they've got other training in the past.
Yes.
Problem with that training, Mark and Dan, is the training they've got, some of these are erroneous, invalid misconceptions, and they should not take place in a negotiation world. And they use it as though it's like a religion. It is scary. These are the myths that I have to go in after first. I can't even teach them until I've busted the myths first, right? Otherwise, now we're going in, they'll think that I endorse their myths. So that's a problem.
What's the biggest myth that you've seen?
Oh, the biggest, there's a lot. Things like win-win. You know, I'm a big one against that. People utter win-win as though it's
I knew there was a reason I liked
you. You knew that was going to come out.
I knew it. I love
trust,
it.
Trust, you know, people talk about you only do business with people you like and trust. I'm like, okay, great. That's great for you if you only do business that way. But my clients, they can do business with people that like and trust them and those who don't like them and who don't trust them.
Yeah, as long as you got a good contract in place.
Yeah.
Exactly. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, pet peeve is tough. I don't really get angry because people pay me so much money to do what I love. I try not to be angry. I mean, I hope if I played second base for the Royals, I'd feel the same way. You know, if you get paid to do what you love, hopefully you don't get angry. I'll tell you what makes me sad. How about that? I think my pet peeves make me sad. It makes me sad when I'm used as a Band-Aid.
Yes.
When there's deep-rooted problems in the culture where we're not asking for our value, we're not doing our homework, we're not making it a craft, we're not encouraging our people to take a deep dive into skills and habits. And instead, we think we can just have some tactics and some techniques. When people ask me for the easy button, it makes me sad.
What's wrong with the easy button, though?
Because negotiation is a craft.
See, I had this conversation the other day where they're like, listen, I don't want to know about the strategy. I just give me the line. I just want to know the line. Tell me the line that I got to use. And I was like,
that's what makes me sad.
If you're looking for the line, you've already lost.
Yeah.
You know, Mark, the minute you say that, it reminds me of my friends that teach martial arts. And they tell me this. They say, you know what? Kids come in and they go, what's the best technique? What's the one technique? They want to learn
the
one
sidekick.
Yeah. It's the death touch, right? If they can learn the death touch, they don't have to learn anything else.
Yeah.
The driver behind that question is, I really don't want to work for it. That's what they really mean.
Yeah, 100%.
And here's the thing is, you know, craft represents an investment in time and discipline and money, by the way. And so that's why it makes me sad, is a company has identified the problem, understands that I could be part of the solution, but just doesn't want to go far enough. And so it makes me sad because I know, A, they won't get the value that they need. They'll get more value than they paid for, but they won't get the value they truly need. And they may be unsatisfied with me as a coach because they've diagnosed the problem and then they aren't using the right treatment. So that's what makes me sad, is when people want the easy button and they're not willing to make it a craft. Because negotiations is a complex human activity. It's a human performance activity. And name me any other complex human performance activity where you can just like watch a YouTube video and be a master. Like read a book and be like, that was awesome. I'm ready.
Obviously, if you want to be a psychologist, all you need to know is, tell me more. No, it's 100% correct though, man. Like there's so much to it that's deep and it's intricate that to minimize it to one line or say these three things and get better results, that kind of just makes me explode. I get so upset about that.
I saw an article recently. The article was about, these are the seven things that you should never say that will make you a great leader. And one of it is, never say it feels like, it sounds like, it looks like. I'm like, that's a problem right there. I have to disagree right there.
Alan basically goes around the internet disagreeing with people.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, that's the way to do it.
He has made a handsome salary at doing it.
I think I've pissed off a lot of people too.
I'm okay with you pissing off people as long as it's for the right reason. So let's start there. Why don't we piss off a few people? Why don't...
Oh, no.
Yeah, let's get into it, Alan. I really want to hear your thoughts on this. So when you hear things like, hey, three things that you have to say to make negotiation better, that's very attractive because it sounds easy, right? And so when you hear that as a consumer or someone who's reading about negotiation who wants to improve, they're like, okay, I just have to say these three things and then I'm going to get to quote unquote that next level. Why is that misleading?
It's misleading because it can help you win in the very short term, but it doesn't give you any depth moving forward when you're building a long-term business relationship that is mutually beneficial. There are certain techniques, you can't use it the second time because the guy's going to go, I've heard you say that last time, right? If you screw up and you use a technique-y way to get out of that, the next time that happens, they're like, I've heard that before. There's only so many times you can use a sidekick on someone until they start chopping your leg off.
So you have to be adaptable. And so maybe Dan will ask you this question. What's the easiest way for people to be adaptable in those kinds of situations? Or is there an easy way?
There's no easy way. The most reliable and repeatable way is to be a great listener. Out of the mold of hostage negotiation, I don't mean like a great listener, like you said, like lay on the couch and how do you feel right now? Like, no, I mean, know how to ask questions, know how to reflect upon answers, know how to identify and explore main ideas, know how to address emotions deftly in a way that draws people to you and doesn't push them away. If you can do that, those techniquey guys are in trouble. because those techniquey guys are they're treating negotiations like a game of Rochambeau. It's rock, paper, scissors. Well, which one should I pick, right? I got three and one's a winner. No. You're not doing discovery. You're not exploring value, and you are definitely not getting creative.
So, but then are we doing a job of selling strategy maybe? Are the other guys just doing a better job at sales, really?
I don't know who's doing better or not. I just know this. I get brought in to train a lot of companies, and they have no strategy. They have not trained anybody to be a negotiator. They've allowed people with a natural acumen, a natural talent, to fall into that role for the company, and they're drowning. When you talk to them, frankly, those professionals are doing their best. And by the way, it's good enough. The company's solvent. But they're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I just go out and I talk to them and I get a deal done and I make sure we're above, you know, our bottom line and that's it. I don't know how much more value is out there.
Well, the truth is, Dan, we really actually have no idea how much value is out there. If you think about it, in any negotiation, unless you have insight onto both parts, I have occasionally, not a lot, where I have coached two clients and they both negotiate against each other and both feels like they got a great, great deal, but only I know how great of a deal each side could have got. Does it make sense? Even though they're following the same system, we really don't really know what that value truly is.
And so the major pitfall to being tactics focused versus strategy focused then is that without the strategy, you'll never know, ever. And you'll never get to additional value, but with strategy, you can get closer is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is this, someone painted this picture for me and it's been on my head. And I know you like that saying from Sun Tzu, which is, you know, strategy without tactics is the slowest path to victory. Tactics without strategy is the noise before defeat. What it is like someone trying to climb a wall and you have a ladder. Without strategy is putting the ladder in the wrong place. It doesn't matter how fast you climb. You go nowhere, right? If you put the ladder in the right place, but you don't know how to climb the ladder or climb the ladder well, you're still going to lose to your competitors.
Mm-hmm. You know, strategies is good, but part of the strategy is ensuring that you have an ongoing program where you're working on your habits so that you can carry out the strategy. And so you can execute the right techniques and tactics. That's a part of it. It's just not the whole thing. You have to recognize what other people are trying to do and know the best way to kind of navigate that and get to the value.
I have an ebook that I wrote. It's called The N Factor. So your audience, if they're listening to it, can press pause, go to 88owls.com. This is shameless plug. It's a free
ebook. Don't listen to Alan. This is a terrible podcast. You're shutting this down. Both of them are fired.
We hijacked it.
Don't redirect. Don't go to those.
Mark is trying so hard right now.
Dan was going to jump in and throw in his Leadercraft there for a second.
I did not mention masterlistener.com.
No, you would never do that, would you?
That'd be horrible.
We're going to edit this portion out.
This is not going to make the final cut.
We'll never make the final cut.
I actually talk about precisely what Dan just talked about. So there's strategy work, there's tactical work, and then there's mindset work. Without the mindset, your strategy and your tactics just won't work. Trying to get someone to be courageous and be able to go into battle, if he's fearful about going to battle, I can give him the best strategy and train him in the technique, and he'll still fail because he's not going to go into battle. Someone who's willing to go to battle but without the skills of the tactic skills will fail and die.
And here's why you see, you know, that we're stepbrothers. Because he's quoting Sun Tzu, and I quote an equally eminent American philosopher, Mike Tyson, who says that everybody's got a good plan until you get punched in the face.
But you're not saying in the right tone. Say it in the right tone, brother.
If you want to be coached, you need to be truly, it's a human performance art and it's adversarial. So you're going to have to be able to, perform
yes.
The tactics and techniques that you want, and you have to execute your strategy in a dynamic arena and against people that are not going to cooperate.
See, this is the big issue that I have with a lot of organizations that I've worked with is they'll bring me in to do training and we'll even do coaching over a longer period of time. And then I say, hey, I mean, after this, I'm going to leave, right? Like to have me on all the time is not a beneficial use of your money. And really, I haven't done my job if I'm here full time. So you should be putting in place a good role-playing practice on an ongoing basis so that you guys can continually get better. No one ever does it. There's one company that I've worked with so far that's put in place an ongoing role-playing practice, but the vast majority of them haven't listened because maybe I didn't do a good job of selling it, or maybe I didn't show them enough of the benefits. But Dan, to your point, if they don't do that, then they're never going to get better. They have to practice in a role-play-based situation all the time.
That's why in the last 13 years, this is one of the things I bring into value as a coach is each week before we go into battle, we role-play. But I don't role-play a fictitious what-if thing. Role-play is like, you're about to go into battle with this. This is the problem. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We role-play that, right? So, but the thing is, it's uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable, and people have to be willing to be vulnerable with their peers in the same room and making a fool of themselves.
Yeah, maybe people just aren't willing to look a fool of themselves. Is that
pride issue? Too much ego, right?
Yeah, you can't underestimate Mr. Ego. I think this is why people gravitate to the Q&A. You know, people ask a question, and it really demands, almost begs for like a demonstration of a certain aspect of our craft. And I'll tell Alan, punch me in the face. I mean, Alan will immediately start role-playing with me over nothing. You don't need a lot of context to demonstrate, you know, a common tactic or aggression. And people, the role-player are like, well, how do you do that? Because they think that to do proper scenario training, you have to have like a 50-page manual and like everybody has to know all these facts. I'm like, no, you just have to understand human aggression and human emotion and negotiations, like the process. It ends up, I think, being some of the best value in the Q&A is spontaneous role-play. And sometimes we'll set it up with other people, and it's really awkward, as you know, Mark, when you have people role-playing, when you're trying out new skills, but it's so efficacious. It's so powerful.
Hey, listeners, I want to tell you about another company that I run called Content Callout. It is a thought leadership brand marketing company. Now, what does that mean? It means that we take you as an executive or entrepreneur, a leader of a small or medium-sized business, and we turn you into a thought leader online. We take your personal brand and we amp it up to 11. So that you can lead with confidence, knowing that people will recognize you, recognize your brand, and recognize your business because of the thought leadership approach that you've taken on social media through content creation and content distribution, as well as engaging with all of your following online. How do you get involved in this? Easy, easy, easy. Just go to contentcallout.com/get-started, and you will see there three different options that will allow you to take your thought leadership brand for yourself and for your business to the next level. We are super excited to talk to you about this. We've seen some massive growth with the businesses that we've been working with. Very, very exciting time for us. Look at that. We appreciate it. Now back to your show.
Without role play, this is what it looks like. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's a director for Lifetime Fitness, and he goes, you know what? I really like this format you guys are talking about. And he goes, I've read a lot of books, been to a ton of seminars on sales and negotiation, and your stuff is by far better. But the thing is, he goes, I know I'm missing something. What is it? It's the practical application, the role play. Because without that, it's like he said, it's like trying to learn martial arts from an interview of Bruce Lee or reading a magazine or Black Belt magazine or something like that. It's completely useless.
Yeah, you got to practice it. I keep telling people, practice is the mother of all skill, right? Repetition is the mother of all skill. You can't pretend to know something. There's a difference between knowing something theoretically and knowing something practically. Theory is good, don't get me wrong. But until you apply the theory, you don't know how it actually works and how to apply it, because otherwise it's just useless to you. There's a thing that I say in all of my classes is that this idea that knowledge is power is a lie. It's the application of knowledge that is the power.
Take it one step further. It is the ability to apply that power in all circumstances against an adversary in the least hospitable environment, right? Just resilient skills. You might call them habits. That's what it's about.
Yeah, 100% agree. Well, guys, we could talk all day about this. And in fact, I want to talk all day about this, but we can't do it for forever. So we're going to end off here. But before we do, as we do with every single show that we have, I want you guys to leave the listeners with one thing that you want them to focus on. Dan, we'll start with you. Then we'll go to Alan. Dan, what's the one thing you want the listeners to focus on, the one thing you want the listeners to take away from this?
I think you really have to make a decision. And the decision is this, is that I will leave negotiations as a fancy, as an interest, you might even say as a hobby. It's something that's cool to talk about or kind of poke around at, or dive deep. That's your choice. You can turn it into a craft, and that's going to require good theory, like you said, Mark. And it absolutely demands that you find yourself a worthy master or mistress who can show you how to do things reliably and repeatedly when people don't cooperate. There's so many different tools that a good negotiator needs, but I would always point out listening as one. I think asking great questions and doing those kinds of things to gain an understanding and also allow other people to discover what they truly believe and how you ask questions is just really powerful for negotiations. So go find a good coach, like maybe Alan Zhang. I don't know. Maybe Alan Zhang would coach you.
What do you say to that, Alan? That was quite a prop, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
You started the conversation off, Dan, with like laying into Alan. And now you're finishing the conversation off with like, hey, buy Alan's stuff and hire him as your coach. What's going on here?
He's horrible, but he's the best.
He knows who's the best, Mark.
Oh, man, this is definitely getting edited out.
This is something
you guys have hijacked this entire show.
You are the host. You're in control. But you remember, well, I'm going to say this at the end. I did record this as well, so I can fill it in. I pre-negotiated this event.
It was so. At that moment that Mark knew he had screwed up.
Yeah. We've got to have someone like giving third-party commentary on this. This would be amazing. Can you imagine third-party commentary on this discussion?
Oh, my God.
Mark, this is your Scotch talk. It's so nice.
Love it.
This is exactly what... How Alan and I talk in real life when we're not on LinkedIn, when we're on WhatsApp.
Yeah. Hey, well, this is why we did this, guys. This is why this is so important, because people need to know. Alan, let's hear from you, man. What do you want the people to take away from this?
The one thing I'm going to leave your audience is the same thing I leave my attendees in my workshop, right? So you can listen to a two-day workshop, one-day workshop, 4 hours, 2 hours, whatever. And it would be a tragedy if you don't put it into practice. All it is just listening, and listening is great. I mean, Dan is a guru of listening, but if you just listen and you don't do, then you've wasted your time. Mm-hmm. So you got to find someone like Dan that can coach you in listening, help you form your mindset or reform your mindset, how you think and how you react. And I think to properly learn how to strategize and prepare for negotiation, that's gold. You got to do it, and you got to do it under supervision so someone can question you and challenge your biases.
There's an easy way for them to do it for free, and it's the Q&A. It's totally free. You just come and you see. And if you don't believe it, you don't believe the negotiation tribe, if you don't believe us after an hour of that, then you're good. Nothing invested, right? So for an hour.
During this time of like COVID-19, people are out of job or they're looking to get a job. What's the best time to learn new skills? Dan, you've heard it. Mark, you've heard it. You want to help people with negotiation skills. What did they say in the past? I got no time. What do they have now? They have time. Learn your skills. The more you learn, the more you earn. But you know what? Employers are not going to pay you for your potential. They're going to pay you for the ability that you bring to them right now. That's it.
Very, very powerful. Well, guys, I really like this new format that I threw in here. I want to do this more often, where we have like talks over drinks. And for the listeners, let me know what you think about it. Let me know what you think about this new format. I highly encourage you to check out Dan's stuff online at LeaderCraft or at Alan's stuff at 88 Owls. Both of them are very knowledgeable about what they do. I consider them both friends, and obviously we have a lot of fun together. Thank you so much for listening to this amazing episode. Have a great day.
Can I say one thing before you close?
No.
Do not negotiate like my brother.
Just don't negotiate like my brother.
No, you can't. You can't say anything while we close. That was the end. Remember when I said, have a great day? That was the end of the podcast. Yeah, I'm shutting you down right
now.
Don't
worry.
We're stopping this recording.
I can supplement, Mark.
Mark, I'm sorry about my brother.
Keys, one of the keys to great negotiation is learning when to stop talking. You haven't learned that yet. You need to stop.
I have to learn when to stop recording. That's the thing.
Oh, my God. You are a pain in the ass. Stopping recording. Hey friends, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with friends and colleagues so that they can benefit from it as well. If you find Negotiations Ninja Podcast worthy, please go onto iTunes and give us a cool rating with a nice review. We certainly appreciate every single one that we get because it helps us to understand who is listening, how they're listening, and what it is they like. If there's something that you would like me to discuss around negotiation, influence, or persuasion, give me a shout. You know how to reach me on social media, or you can get me on my website, which is www.negotiations.ninja.